Welcome to Grace Harvest Baptist Church. I have a cold and I can't hear out of my left ear. So if it sounds like I'm screaming at you, I don't mean to be. I'll let you know when I am mean to be. But anyway, so be patient with your pastor this morning. I was not supposed to be here this Sunday. Kathy and I's Jesse, was supposed to report for duty down in Pensacola, Florida on Monday, and the dates had changed. So I let David know in the beginning of the week that I was going to be here, and he had an opportunity to be with Nathaniel at another church today. So that so I stepped up and told him I'd preach for him this Sunday, and that's where he is. If you were expecting him, and it's a little bit crowder this week, so I don't know if people enjoy David coming. But anyway, bear with your pastor just for a moment. I'm going to ask for your forgiveness and your patience for me. I will not be here next Saturday. It is Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is our fall festival. I planned on being back, but since Jesse will not be leaving, we'll be leaving together on Tuesday night, and I'll be flying back Monday. We'll be driving down there. Every one of my boys who's gone off the service, we have seen them off, and Kathy's not able to travel. And I thought I would not go, and Kathy about broke down, and, well, she did break down. And so I will be leaving with Jesse. Jesse didn't give me permission to go, and I told the congregation and many of you a long time ago, I sacrifice for you guys, and my family knows that. There have been many times when I've left the dinner table on Sunday evenings and other times when I've gone to be with you in your time of need. And I've always asked your patience with me, and these are one of those times, so I appreciate that, and thank you so much. With that said, I want to say to Jesse Wells has been a part of this flock. He is one of the members that signed the covenant back in 2006, and he will be leaving us, and we don't know how long he'll be leaving us. Definitely for 6 years he'll be gone. And as Mom realized that the other day and started crying, Jesse said these wise words, "Mom, don't worry, I'll be back at Christmas." So, Jesse, we, as your father, as your pastor, I have been thrilled to see what God has done in your life and look forward to see the things that he will do in your life. And I know there will be a body here that will be praying for you and encouraging you. So, Godspeed to you. Today, we are finishing up our foundation series, and I have the privilege of preaching to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. And the title of this sermon is Our Only Foundation. Our Only Foundation. So if you would stand with me, please, as we honor the reading of God's Word, and we'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 5, a very familiar passage to most of us. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. And according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for that foundation. We thank you that Grace Harvest is a church, like many churches throughout this area and this nation and this world who have built their foundation on you. And Father, we pray that this church would always be one who remembers the foundation that it was built on. We pray, Father, as we dive into your word today, that not a mere man would be heard, but your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Well, I'm going to break this passage of Scripture into two parts today. And the two parts I'm going to talk about are the master builder and the foundation. The master builder and the foundation. Now look at verse 10 with me, if you will. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. Now I want you to notice something here. Paul himself was the master builder of the Corinthian project, or the Corinthian church, if you will. Now, master builder is one word, and it's in the Greek, and it's the term from which we get the word architect. But the word in Paul's day carried the idea of a builder as well as a designer. A builder as well as a designer. He was a combination architect and general contractor, Paul's saying here. And as an apostle, Paul's specialty was foundations, was it not? And that's what he did, as he went around the known world at that time in that area and preaching and teaching the gospel. And over the years since his conversion, Paul had been used by the Lord to establish and instruct many churches across Asia Minor, Macedonia, and in Greece, which was going into Europe. But don't think he was bragging here. And that's, you know, some people think, well, Paul must be bragging at this point. He began by making it clear that his calling and his effectiveness were the only by the grace of God that was given to him. Okay? And don't miss that. The only reason he was able to do what he did was because of the grace that God had given to him. The problem with too many of us today is we think that we are who we are because of who we are. And we forget that it comes from God. And you know, I am a prime example of that. I remember back in 2003 when I went to Pastor Ronnie Brown and shared with him God's calling in my life. And Pastor Ronnie Brown said, okay, Mark, we're going to wait and see. And he put me in a position where he could observe me for over a year. And at the end of that year, he licensed me as a minister of the gospel. That's the first thing you do in your way to ordination in a Baptist church. And then that was in the summer of 2004. And then in the winter of 2005, I was ordained. And there were three men that were ordained that night. Two other men who are not currently in full-time ministry. And if you were to ask me that night which one of us would not be in the ministry 8 years later, I would have said me. I would have looked at these other two and said, they're a whole lot smarter than I am. They're a whole lot more gifted than I am. They're a whole lot more talented than I am. And therefore, if anybody was going to succeed, I thought that these two men would. And I can remember, I'll never forget that night. It was something very special in my life. And I remember going over to Jesse and Deborah's house, and as many things have happened in my life have revolved around friends and their home. And I remember going there, and they had a cake and thing. But I remember one thing that was said to me, and that person is still in this church today, and they left. But Gina was the first person to ever use the title Pastor Mark. And I remember I was so humbled when she said that. And I reflected on that as I was preparing the sermon this week and thought to myself, it's only by God's grace that I even stand here. Because I am no Paul, but I get what he's talking about when he says it's by God's grace that we do what we do. Do you get that, people? It's not you. And there's a certain freedom in that. When you realize it's not you, then you can't get all the blame. It's God's fault. You have a pastor here, and it's God's fault. So, you know, but we need to be obedient. We need to be obedient to what he does. Just like Paul, who was a good and wise builder, it was all God's doing in my life and in his life and in your life. He had already declared that neither the one who plants, as we read in verse 7, nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. And Paul never forgot who he was and who he worked for and what was the reason that things got done. It wasn't because Paul, it was because God was working through Paul. And I think when we realize that in our own lives, whatever God's calling you to do, here at Grace Harvest, whatever ministry He's called you to do, if you understand that you're doing it because God wants you to be part of the body and He wants to use you to serve the body, then you have a certain freedom and you have a joy that you never will have if you think you've got to do all the work. You know, the same truth applied to those who laid foundations and those who built upon them. A few years later, He would tell the believers in Rome, "I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me," He says in Romans chapter 15, verse 18. His great success as an apostolic foundation layer was due entirely to God. By the grace, He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God is with me. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Now, the reason I want to throw that out at you, and I'm going to listen to it again as I read it. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me did not prove vain. Because what? But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God is with me. So you don't get a free pass. Because God has called you to do what He's called you to do doesn't mean that you don't have to do any work. It's still labor. And this side of eternity, we have to labor for the cause of Christ. And so I would challenge you, believer, you who are listening to me today, who have made that profession of faith, who believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross to forgive you of your sins. You believe that, and you know one day you're going to be with Him because you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're His, and all of your sins are forgiven. What are you doing for the cause of Christ? God has given you the gift of salvation, and He didn't just say, "Mark, I saved you in 1980. Now, go do whatever you want to do." And folks, He didn't say that to you either. Not to one of you did He say, "Go now and live your life the way you want to." If I know my scripture and I do this part, He said, "Mark, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." That's what He said to me. And that's what He said to every one of you. And He's given you the grace to do what He's given you to do or called you to do. You know, Paul, he labored and strived by God's power and claimed no cause to boast at all, except in the Lord. And that's where our boast should be, in Him. He was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace and considered Himself to be the least of all the saints. We know that from Ephesians chapter 3. He encouraged people not to laud Him, to praise Him. You know, He didn't do that in 1 Corinthians 9, 15 and 16, but rather He said what? To pray for him. Folks, that's what you can do for your pastors. Pray for me. You know, everybody likes to be patted on the back. Everybody, I don't care who we are, everybody loves to be told what a great job we do. But I'm going to tell you what, I've learned one thing. I would rather for you to pray behind closed doors for me than pat me on the back. Because that's going to be effective in the ministry of this church. Pray for your pastor. Pray for those in position of authority over you. Pray for your Sunday school teachers. Pray for those nursery workers. Pray for the ladies ministry ladies who work and work so hard to bring you, and pray for the men's ministry. And by the way, folks, we have a great opportunity in this church. Not many people have the chance to sit and listen to God's Word being preached on Sunday mornings, to go to a ladies' Bible study on Monday evenings, which just started last week. You're not going to miss anything. I'll tell you how many testimonies I've heard. Three. I've heard three testimonies from ladies. I don't want to tell you what greater it was, but I've heard three different women tell me how excited they are about this study and wish they hadn't started it, one of them told me, because they're already fallen under conviction. You have such a great opportunity in this church, Monday nights, Thursday mornings. And then you have home groups and you have Sunday school. Folks, you can't get enough of God's Word. You can't. And I know some of you are sitting there thinking, "Preacher, shut up. Preach the sermon. Quit talking about the other stuff." Well, the other stuff's important, folks. Do you get that? All of it's important, because I'm going to tell you what. There's things in your life right now that you're going to look back on that you thought were important, and you're going to regret them. I'm here to tell you that. If there's something that's taken precedent over your walk with the Lord. Now, I don't expect you to be here every time the doors are open. Nobody ever does. No, and hear me, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is if God is a second thought to you, if the things of God are second place to you, then I would just say ask you to evaluate your walk with God. I'm not saying you're not a believer, but your priorities sure are messed up. Because when you got saved, I'm sure you said just like I did, as you were crying at your salvation experience, you said, Lord, I love you, and I'll do anything for you. I'll follow you anywhere. You were just like Peter. I'll whack people's ears off. I'll walk on water. I'll do anything for you, God. Okay, except that. And that, and that, and that. But I'll go to church once or twice a year. You see what I'm saying? It's amazing how we were so on fire at one time, and then that kind of washes away. Paul didn't feel that way. He encouraged you as a believer, encourages us some 2,000 years later from his writings that were inspired by the Holy Spirit to stay strong. In the 18 months he had worked among the Corinthian church, we know that from Acts chapter 18, he had faithfully preached and taught the gospel and nothing else. That's how he showed himself to be a wise master builder. And God refers to him as a wise master builder. Wise in this context has to do not only with spiritual wisdom, but also with practical wisdom. Not just spiritual wisdom, but practical wisdom. With skill, Paul knew why he had been sent to Corinth to do what he had been chosen to do. He knew it was God's time and God's plan. He was sent to build the foundation of the church there. And that is what he carefully and skillfully did. Now, Paul is different than we are because Paul entered into a city that was corrupt. It was decadent. Oh, wait a minute, that's kind of around here too, isn't it? Corrupt, decadent, you think of it. But the difference was there was no Christianity. And so here comes Paul to establish the church. You talk about being alone. You know, but it didn't bother Paul, did it? Because he knew who he belonged to. Folks, you need to start acting like you know who you belong to. You belong to Jesus Christ. He has paid the price for you. If we sing those songs and we talk about how wonderful God is and we talk about how the angels prostrate fall and we talk about what we're going to do when we get to heaven, I can only imagine, and we sing all these songs about God, but isn't it amazing how we walk in our daily lives and we really don't care about the things of God? And God says, care about me. Think about me. Think about the foundation that was paved for you and laid for you in the years gone by the Pauls and later men like Spurgeon and men like that who stood up to the culture of their day. He had the right motive, Paul did. He had the right message, and he had the right power, the Holy Spirit in him. Well, folks, you know I'm no Paul, but in the sense, the same thing is true for me and what's happened here at Grace Harvest as what happened with Paul going into Corinth. It's the same kind of story, and it's been repeated all through the church age, where men who've been called by God to preach His Word have gone out and done it and been obedient to Him. And for a reason I'll never understand, God chose me to be your pastor. And God called me out to build the foundation of Grace Harvest Baptist Church on His foundation, the blood of Jesus Christ. We see that Paul has the right approach. He was a master strategist. Though he was primarily the apostle to the Gentiles, remember that was his job. He was supposed to preach to the Gentiles. Paul went to the synagogue to preach first, Acts chapter 9, verse 15, because the gospel was to go to who first? To the Jew first. To the Jew first, and then the Gentile. He also knew that the Jews would listen to him as one of themselves, and that those who were converted could do what? Paul was no fool. He knew that if he went into the synagogues and God had called these folks from the foundation of the world to be his, who would go and help him when he went to places like Corinth? These converted Jews. That's who would go. So they were there to help him reach the Gentiles. The Jews were his best open door as well. And guess what? His passion. Was it not Paul's passion to preach and reach the Jews as well? God's primary purpose for him was to reach Gentiles. But he had a passion in Romans chapter 9, verse 1 and 3, and Romans chapter 10, verse 1, tells us that of Paul's passion for the Jews. Matter of fact, he even says at one point, does he not, that he would be damned himself if he could save all his brethren. Do you have a heart for the lost like that? Do you have a concern for those that you would damn yourself if you could save all those that you love and care about? Now, Paul knew he couldn't do that, but that's how strong his sentiment was about his desire to see people who were lost come to a saving knowledge. And after winning converts in the synagogue and often being thrown out, he would begin preaching and ministering among the Gentiles in the community. I don't pull this out of thin air. It comes from Acts chapter 17, verses 1 and 4, and Acts chapter 18 as well. He carefully and diligently planned and laid a foundation, a solid foundation in Jesus Christ. And the footings were deep and they would last. It wasn't the little piggy house made of straw. It wasn't the little piggy house made of sticks. This was a foundation that would stand. And that's the reason that here we have I don't even know what our statement. Go gather, grow, go. I don't know what we title that. What do we title that? Our mission statement? Our go gather, grow, go. It's a thing that just really should mean something to you. Go gather, grow, and go. We go out to reach the lost. We gather those folks in. Whether you bring them in and invite them in because they're your friends, they're in your community, you work with them, and they come or you've shared the gospel with them and they've come to a saving knowledge of Christ, or they've come through the men's ministry or the ladies' ministry and now they're part of the body, and they come and we gather them in and then we grow. It doesn't do any good to bring people into the church if you don't teach them anything. That doesn't do anybody any good, because then we become just a bunch of rotten fruit. But then what's the purpose? Then we go. We go out again, and it's a cycle. It's just the same thing that started with Paul and all the rest of the apostles. Folks, all of us will die unless the Lord comes home. I'm reminded of that constantly. Every time you get a little sick, you start to hurt, you moan, and go, you think about it a little bit more. I was having a conversation with Jesse the other day, having a father-son talk before he leaves. And I was sitting there talking with him. I said, you know, Jesse, I said, in 12 years, I'm going to be 70 years old. And in 12 years, you're going to be 36. You might be in the middle of your career in the Air Force at that point. No telling what rank you'll be, but you know, you're going to be in the prime of your life. And your dad's going to be an old man. And that 12 years will go by faster than you think it will, won't it? And we're reminded of that constantly. Like, life is but a vapor. And gone. But it's a good reminder. Why is it a good reminder? Because it's a good reminder for me to know that time is precious, and I don't have tomorrow promised. I have today to preach the gospel. God's given me this opportunity. I may not be coming back to you guys, not because I plan on going anywhere, but something happens to your pastor. This may be the last time that I get to stand here and preach God's word. Glory be to God that I get to share His word. Do you feel that way when you are about His business? You know, Cal, when you get up here on Sunday morning, do you think about, this could be the last time I could lead this congregation in worship? Do you feel that way, folks? Be excited to be called by God and be used by Him. The foundation is the first part of the building process. Paul's task was to lay the proper foundation of the gospel, to establish the doctrines and principles for belief and practice revealed to him by God. You know why it's so important to go to Sunday school? You know why it's so important to go to these other studies? It's because that's where you learn. I preach to you on Sunday morning. For 40 minutes or 45 minutes, I preach to you. And maybe one or two of you walks away and you think, okay, I can apply that to my life. And the rest of you think, well, there was some good stuff in there. And you know, and then some of you just walk away and forget about the sermons who's left. But it's amazing when you go to a Sunday school class and you have the opportunity to pick the brain of a Sunday school teacher. You get to ask them questions. You get challenged. And maybe some of you actually study the lesson before you go. That you know what you're gonna get taught, and you start to study it yourself. And so you have questions before you go. So what do? You learn the doctrines of our faith. You understand what God's Word has to say. That when somebody says something stupid out there on the radio, you know that that's not truth because you studied it. That's why it's important. And folks, it's never about numbers. It really isn't. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. If If there were five people that showed up here to hear God's word preached, I preached to five people. Now, would I be a little disappointed? You're darn right I would be, because it's the human side of me. But I'm here to tell you, I'd preach to those five people. And folks, you got to understand, when we're called to do what we're called to do by God, rejoice in the fact that you were called to do it. Take that joy. And folks, don't miss the opportunity that God has given you here at Grace Harvest to be at a church that believes in Jesus Christ, that believes in His Word, and believes His Word is the final word. And there is a black and there is a white. And we know where the light comes from. And it's from God. We know that. But the contest makes it clear that in a broader and more inclusive application here to this passage is also in mind when he talks about each man. And when he says each man here, primarily it refers to evangelists and pastors and teachers have continued to build on the foundation laid by the apostles. But again, the contest makes it clear that it's in reference to each man and any man in verses 10 on indicate that the principle applies to every believer. Every man and woman here who is a believer in Christ, all of us, by what we say and do, teach the gospel. If you're a Christian and you claim to be a Christian at work, you're teaching the gospel. So when they see you and you say you're a Christian and you act like a heathen, that's the gospel to them. That's the gospel. No Christian has the right to be careless in representing the Lord and His Word. Every believer is to be a careful builder. We all have to have that responsibility, and that we do have the same responsibility to be a builder. So we looked at the master builder. Now we're going to look at the foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. The second point of the sermon, the last point, the foundation is Jesus Christ. Verse 11, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now Paul was the master builder, whose primary task as an apostle was to lay the foundation of the Christian gospel. That was his primary task. But he did not design the foundation, did he? He only laid it. He laid the foundation. Jesus is the foundation. The only foundation of biblical Christianity is Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation. Okay? Understand that. There's nothing else but Jesus. He is the Alpha and the Omega. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. And when Jesus Christ came to this earth and lived as a man among us, lived that perfect life so that He could be that perfect sacrifice, and when He died and paid that price for the sins that you and I could never pay that price for, and when Jesus took that all the iniquity, all the sin, every sin you ever thought about committing, every sin you committed yesterday and the sin that you'll commit tomorrow, God placed on Jesus. And when He died on that cross and that blood was shed and He took away our sins forever for those who believe in Him, that's the foundation of the church. That's the foundation that we build our house on. That's what Grace Harvest is built on. Underneath this pulpit are the words, "It's Christ and Him crucified," that will be preached here. It's Christ and Him crucified. Nobody else. The foundation is not New Testament ethics, many of which are found in other religions today, nor is it in its history, traditions, and decisions of churches and church leaders through the centuries. It is Jesus Christ and Him alone. The elders of Grace Harvest cannot change the foundation of this church. Nobody can come in here and change the foundation of a Christian church. It is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. In a sense, it is all Scripture, for all of Scripture is both from and about Jesus Christ, is it not? All of Scripture. The Old Testament predicted and prepared for His incarnation. And the Gospels tell the history of His earthly ministry. And the book of Acts tells us what? The history of the early church in its early years. And the epistles, the letters written, and commentaries on His messages. The epistles are commentaries on His message and work. And the book of Revelation is the final testimony of His reigning and imminent return. Do you understand how that's all laid out for us? Isn't that awesome how God did that with the Bible? The Old Testament tells us what's going to happen. The New Testament tells us what was happening. And the book of Revelation says this is going to happen. You know, you serve a king who's already won the battle. The problem is we deal with a defeated foe. Ever heard don't mess with a wounded animal? I'm scared to death of anything wounded. Because you know why? What do? They have nothing to lose. They have absolutely nothing to lose. They're going to come at you with everything they got. That's the same way Satan is. He is a wounded and defeated foe. And yet he will do everything he can to mess with your walk with God. He can't take your soul, believer. He can't do it. It belongs to God. But he sure can ruin your testimony. He sure can ruin your walk. He can sure put you on a shelf somewhere. And don't let him do that. Christian, are you there? Is that where you're at today? Are you on that shelf? Has something gone on in your life that you feel like, oh my gosh, I can't even go tell God that I can't even ask for his forgiveness. I know he knows, but I can't even ask for forgiveness. I'm too ashamed of it. That's the enemy talking to you. Because God says, here I am. You're my child. I've already paid the price for you. Just seek my forgiveness and it's given. Don't let a defeated foe destroy your walk with God now. You know, some builders have tried to make the foundation of Christianity to be that church tradition, and others the moral teachings of a human Jesus, others ethical humanism, and still others simply by love. It's all about love. They forget about God's wrath and his judgment. And then they throw good works in it. If we're just good enough, if we just do enough good things, you know, God wants you to be a happy person. God wants you to enjoy life. You know, I was listening to something the other day. Joel Osteen made a comment about the Garden of Eden. And when you remember when God looked at Adam and Eve or called upon them and said, where are you? And they hid themselves because they were naked. And he said, who told you you were naked? You know what Joel Osteen said in a sermon, if you want to call it that? He said God was telling them at that point, who's judging you? Who told you you were naked? Who told you that you could only be a C student? Who told you you could only achieve this much in life? Who told you this? Folks, you have taken a statement of the judgment of God upon mankind and made it into a self-esteem message? It's about the judgment of God on us for being sinners. And God, in his mercy and grace, has given us a Savior to build our foundation on. It's not based on good works, folks. It's not based on your self-esteem. It's based on the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are no different. In conclusion, after the lame man had been healed at the temple gate and the crowds there were marveling at it, Peter preached a sermon, didn't he? I love that. Here's the healing. And what does Peter do? He breaks out in a sermon. He explained in some detail how Jesus was the one of whom the Old Testament focused and was the only one through whom they could be saved and have eternal life. The priests and the Sadducees then had Peter and John arrested for what he said. And they put him in jail. And on the next day, the two men were brought before the high priest and a large group of other priestly leaders and commanded them to do what? To explain the preaching and the healing. And Peter then does what? He continues to preach. He preaches again. And Peter continued to preach as he did on the previous day, telling them that it was by Jesus of Nazareth, the one whom they had crucified, that God raised the crippled man, and that the same Jesus, the stone whom they had rejected, was the cornerstone of God's kingdom. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Go read it for yourself. You'll see even then in the beginning how Peter was saying he is the cornerstone. He was saying to those Jewish leaders at that moment that could not accept the gospel of the kingdom because they refused to accept the very center, the very foundation of the kingdom, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected the cornerstone. They rejected the foundation, and that's why they put him to death. So those presumed builders of Israel, the Sadducees, the high priest, the Pharisees of God's chosen people, tried to erect a religious system of tradition and works, but they had no foundation. And they built their religion on a house of sand, and the foundation has been revealed in the scriptures for centuries by Isaiah and other prophets who have said the same thing. But they rejected it, as Peter reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 2. Every human philosophy, every religious system and code of ethics is doomed to failure and destruction because it has not the proper foundation. So my challenge to you today, are you building your house on the proper foundation? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to talk to you Christians first. So listen as I remind you that you have laid your house on the proper foundation. And by your house, I mean you. Because you have made a profession of faith that says that Jesus Christ is my Lord, He is my Savior. And so my challenge to you today, by the grace of God who called you to be His, I ask you, are you living for Him today? Are you? What does your life look like, believer? Is your life full of you and stuff? Or is your life full of God? And none of us are perfect. Not your pastor, not the elders of this church. No one here is perfect. But hear your pastor's heart. My desire of my heart is for each day that I move forward from the previous day, that I'm a little bit more like Christ than I was the day before. That my heart has a little bit more desire to be like Him than it has to be in the world. You know, we're warned of that, believer. When we were saved, before that we were enemies of God, and now we're not. You're friends of God. Well, act like it. Act like you're friends of His. Act like you belong to Him. Act like you want to be around Him. I want to be around my friends. I don't know about you. And I definitely want to be around the one that loved me enough to die for me when I was yet a sinner. So, Christian, I challenge you. Are you living for Him? Some of you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We're going to have a baptism here in a minute. And Sheila comes forward to identify herself with every other believer. Every other believer in Christ who has said, I want to set an example. I want to be baptized just as Jesus commanded. Some of you need to do that. You've never done that. Others, God is calling you to be a member of Grace Harvest Baptist Church and saying, I want you to serve here. If God's calling you to do that, you do that. However God's working in your life, you come, the altar will be open, you can come and pray. I will be standing up front in just a moment when we sing the invitational song. Come and grab this preacher's hand, and I'll be glad to pray with you over any concern you might have. Now, just for a moment, you who do not know Christ as Savior, when God pricked your heart today, He took that heart of stone and broke it. And He said, did you hear what the preacher said about my Son? That He came and He paid a price for you that you could not pay. That the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary's cross covers your sin. Every last one of them. And they're forgiven. If you just believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that He died for you. And He was raised from the dead. And He's with God now. Confess that with your mouth. Believe that in your heart. Jesus says you will be saved. And friend, don't tarry, because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. Father God, I thank you. I pray, Father, your will be done here today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You come as the Lord leads.